Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com.
For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events,
sign up now for TBISN.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBILaw.com or call 800-992-9447.
Welcome to WTF, Where's the Focus, on the Brain Injury Network, with your host, Kevin Phillips.
Good evening, everybody. Hey, today is April 5th. We are well into spring, and I am your host, Kevin Phillips, with WTF. Today, we are going to be talking about spring cleaning with a brain injury, and we're not going to be talking specifically about the normal cleaning of the house and environment you're in, but we're going to be talking in depth about a new way to look at spring cleaning. And before we get started, I want to remind everybody we are here at the with the marvelous Maggie. She's manning the chat room tonight. So if you want to join us, if you're listening to us live and want to join us online, you can join the chat room at braininjuryradio.com and scroll down to the bottom. And when the time comes, you can give us a call at 424-243-9540. Just follow the prompts and we'll get to you as soon as that time of the show comes. Tonight's show is what we're doing is I've decided to go ahead and extend my show to 90 minutes. And so until otherwise notified, all future shows, you know, hey, we're going to have a 90-minute show and give you the opportunity to share your insight as well. So Maggie's a little disturbed here right now. So what is it that you need, Maggie?
We've got somebody that says your voice might sound a little too close to the mic. Never mind.
Okay, well, hey. So anyways, what we're doing here tonight is spring clean. Thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Gordon Johnson at TBILaw.com. He's provided us with this ability to continue to bring you this wonderful information from our hosts of Brain Injury Radio Network. And I want to thank everybody who participates. We're really starting to come together now and establish a guidelines for how these shows are run, as well as the information that we're going to be sharing with you. So life with a brain injury, as we all know, is can be a challenge at times. You know, remembering things, getting stuff done, all that. But I'm here to tell you and share, like the other burn hosts, share their experiences with you in an effort to make your life a lot more functional. And that's what WTF is all about, is helping brain injury survivors become thrivers by learning how to recognize their challenges caused by their brain injury. Just because you have a brain injury, you know, I having been down that road of wanting to commit suicide just because I was tired of all the rigmarole. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. But then I realized that at that critical point that my focus was on a belief. And subsequently, as a result of that particular incident, I have recognized I have one of two options. I can either choose to believe in something, or I can remember what is known. And as living proof, I want to say it's all good. For those that, whether you're religious or not, I'm sure you will attest to some sort of doctrine that said that after all that was created, he looked at what was created and said, it is good. So if that being true, who are we to redefine something if the creative source said, hey, it's all good? We came here for the experience, and learning to understand that is, I think, what each and every one of us is here to do, whether we cognitively recognize that or not. And I think that's where WTF has come in to give people a new perspective, because WTF doesn't necessarily mean what the beep anymore. It means where's the focus? And I use that as a personal reminder that, hey, despite where the focus might be, let's redirect it to what is desired. Because there's always, for so long as we exist, there are going to be things that we could define as undesired, albeit forgetfulness, or which is a big thing for my particular brain injury. That's why I feel very fortunate to have the marvelous Maggie, who is a rehab counselor by trade. So I really hit the jackpot on that one from some people's perception. But speaking from personal testimony, I can say it was just a matter of focus. Good friend and fellow TBI thriver. Inspired me to use it's not hocus pocus, it's just a matter of focus, to remind people that hey, we can achieve something better despite the circumstances. So on to tonight's show, spring cleaning. We've got some words here to use, because for those of you who have listened to my shows, you know I said that the words that we use in thought and speech create the realities that we see. So how's my voice coming across? Is it sounding a lot better? Okay, yeah. If it's coming a little scratchy, my apologies. My daughter was here for spring break, and she left me with something, and so I might be sounding a little hoarse. What's unique about this particular thing is that this is the first time I've actually felt ill or sick, like, you know, I got that bug, and I think Maggie and I, we've been together, working together for, what, 55, 60 months now? Somewhere right in there. And I've only been, felt like this twice, this being the second time. First time was back in 2009, or was it 10, when we went to my sister's 8? Oh, wow, that was 2008, wow. So, yeah, it's been a while. So I'm due. I will do my best to be more clear and concise and articulate in what I share with you guys tonight. So moving forward, here are some things that with spring cleaning. I mean, when we think about spring cleaning, the spring is in the air. There's all sorts of tunes that can remind us and get us in that happy, cheery mood. And that's one of the things that I want to remind listeners. If you've got a brain injury, it can, especially in the immediate time afterwards, and for a while afterwards. I dealt with I had a pretty narrow perception on a lot of things for a period of about 4 years, significant enough to cause the wife that I had, or bride that I had been acquired for almost 10 years, you know, had enough. But music is a wonderful tool that we can use to change that focus. And so for those of you that do your spring cleaning around the house, you know, there's all sorts of things that we can do. So I'm going to rattle off some words here, and then I'm going to go back over them and talk and dissect them a little bit more. But the first one, I'm just going to read off the words: declutter, consolidate, check, plant, and ask. And I know there's a listener out there right now that, especially on this last part, she's got a wonderful story to share, so I hope she's listening and calls in to share that about asking for assistance. But let's go back to the first one. When we think about cleaning, you know, there's a saying that says, cleanliness is next to godliness. And to indicate or to be indicative that, hey, the cleaner you are, then that must mean you have a purer soul and what have you. But if human history isn't proof enough, that's not necessarily true, especially when we think about the Catholic travesties that happened a few years back, as well as, well, every religion has had their travesty of some sort and to some degree. The Jews, the Christians, you know, everybody. There's not any one particular demographic that is excluded from these types of adversities. But moving forward, you know, when we think about cleaning, you know, who wants to clean? And I use that word specifically, want. Wants to clean? I don't want to do anything. I either do it or I don't do it. And so it's kind of fun when with Maggie and folks that know me, they'll say, hey, I want that. And my response is, how does it feel to want? Not to be sarcastic or demeaning, but really, that's what we've been doing. If you're ever in want, understanding that our psyche is what creates the realities that we experience, when we use those words, want, we are creating more of it. Whereas when I work with people and people ask, how do you do this? I say, well, I intend to. I don't want, I don't wish, I don't, you know, spend too much time thinking about it. Action is a key role here. So when it comes to cleaning, and you know, obviously that may not be something we want to do, but it is a necessity. When you especially think about it, I mean, we can go a day or two without a shower, but after that, I think it was Zig Ziglar said. You know, or they said cleanliness is the next godliness, and motivation is like a shower. We've got to take a shower every day, because if we don't, we're going to wind up stinking. And so motivation or inspiration is applicable here as well. So if you're not getting your daily dose of motivation or inspiration, I want to invite and encourage you to find that. I mean, each one of us is different. So what inspires me may not necessarily inspire you or your family or your friends or whatever. So let's do some spring cleaning on some of that negativity that seems to be hanging around you and slowing down your progress. So what I want to invite listeners to do is make a list. You know, one of the things that in the Marine Corps we have a acronym, BAMSIS, begin the planning, arrange the reconnaissance, make the begin the planning, arrange reconnaissance, make the order, issue the order, and supervise, BAMSIS, and complete the planning. I forgot what's in between the M and the I. My apologies. But moving forward with that, it's what's referred to as a five-paragraph order. In the civilian sector, we call it a business plan. And there's an old adage, you know, if you fail to plan, that means you plan to fail. And why some people might not understand that logic, by default, it's a by default type thing. And so it is imperative. I mean, we wouldn't you know, jump in our cars and you know, head to Disneyland without knowing how to get there, what roads you would need to take. So when it comes to spring cleaning, you got to have a plan. This is no different. And one of the first things that I want to encourage listeners to do is to take a list. You know, you can do a mental list or you can actually take a physical list. I mean, because there's so many different areas in which we can declutter our lives. And that starts with, you know, recognizing what we individually are perceiving as negative or disempowering. This past week I had my daughter for spring break. She's 14 years old, and I asked her, I said, I presented her with a query. What's the difference between empowering, or the words, empowering, and disempowering? And her response was simple, dis. My reply was humorous. I said, what about dis? So, anywho, I know. That really is the difference. Everything is empowering, except what we define dis, D-I-S. Whatever dis is what we have created. And So I want to encourage listeners to remember, you are the creator of the perceptions that you have. My daughter, at the age of 14, is really getting a grasp on this, whereas here I am at the ripe young age that I am, discovering it now and sharing it with you. Because I figure, you know, if you, especially if you have a brain injury and, you know, you're 20s or less, hey, you have as much right and ability as somebody in their 40s, 50s, or 60s who's discovering they have a brain injury or have had a brain injury. That's the wonderful thing about the brain injury community is that once we find you, it's, hey, like the Marine Corps, hey, we'll help you out, we'll take care of you. But truth be known, there are going to be some that don't see things like that, not like I do, but that's okay. They're just an example. And there's no reason for me, let alone you, or to choose to become offended by someone else's action. So when it comes to decluttering, take that mental list. You know, what are some things in your life that, you know, aren't giving you that empowerment that you deserve? And for example, you know, when I dropped my daughter off on Thursday, I have a thing of Red Shirt Fridays to honor. It's just a little thing that I do personally to honor our service members, veterans, where because the red shirt signifies the blood that has been spilled over, you know, the various things that we do. I think it's the American Heart Association. They have a similar campaign, Red Shirt and Fridays. But that's not, I'm making it public, I'm doing it for the veterans. So anyways, yesterday morning on Thursday, Maggie comes in, she lays out my clothes for me, and I got to get up and go about my day. So I get dressed, and I'm thinking it's Friday. A friend of mine calls me up, he requests, you know, like he had said the week before, he was going to get it up on, do something on Friday, needed my assistance. So when he called and to call me, I'm still thinking it's Friday. And it wasn't until I, you know, after I sent out some emails as though it was on a Friday, that I look at my on my laptop in the corner and I say Thursday, and I'm like, what the hazy? So I go to Maggie and I inquire. I say, hey, why was my red shirt laid out? And what was funny was her response was, I just hadn't finished it, putting all the laundry away. And so it was kind of humorous because we both realized, it's just like, oh, my God, the importance of finishing the projects that we start. Now, for those listeners who, if you have somebody, live with somebody with a brain injury, you're probably laughing about this. I mean, how many projects have they started that they didn't complete because, you know, they got distracted or there wasn't time? Whatever the reason for it is irrelevant, but I think what we can all come together and agree upon is the fact that, you know, hey, we got a brain injury. Part of our brains don't function the way it used to. So if we forget something, despite somebody who doesn't have a brain injury, how many times they have to repeat ourselves, they have to cognitively, as we do, remind them that, hey, I do have a brain injury. It wasn't intentional. But again, through repetition, since repetition is the second law of learning, we can learn how to manage our brain injuries. There's a gal that I know, Jennifer, she's in the TBI community. This gal is on fire, and I love listening to her, see her posts out there, and she is a true thriver. And it's amazing to see people who, despite their brain injury, I mean, they recognize they have their brain injury, and they're going to bitch, moan, groan, and complain. I think if you have a brain injury and you haven't done that, it's just, it wasn't, trust me, you did that, you just weren't made aware of it. Or the way to remember that you did it is take a look at the people that left your circle of friends. Those are the ones, that's your proof. So moving forward, when we're taking that mental list of the, what we define as negative in our life, start checking those things off, getting them out. You know, it's like those unfinished projects has been a huge thing for me, or little things that I might leave laying around the house in an effort to do something, I set something down. Now, I at least once a day rely upon that. Hey, where is my, you know, where's my phone, or where's this, where's that? And fortunately, she is very graceful and helping me locate that stuff. A lot more graceful than sometimes my request for where this item might be. And for all intents and purposes, she has the ability to, you know, get upset and leave. And truth be known, there have been a couple times she's done that. But she always came back. And so for folks that are listening, if you're a caregiver and you've thought about leaving, hey, you're in good company. That's okay. Trust me, that person with the brain injury, I am confident, speaking from personal experience, I thought about leaving too. But fortunately, it was, you know, I pulled my head out and realized something was better, and you know, hey, this was a choice. So I want to encourage listeners to make a better choice. And so when it comes to cleaning, decluttering, get rid of the things that you haven't used. Or now when we get onto the physical side, go around your house. Take a look at the things that are around your house and you haven't used. If you haven't used it or worn it in 6 months or more, might I encourage you to pack it up and donate it. And something I just recently learned today, and I want to commend the young lady for giving us this idea. Her name is Teresa. She works with a respite care service. You know, I used to donate my stuff to Goodwill. And while Goodwill was a great organization that does some good things, obviously, what I discovered and what was shared with me today was there are, in your local areas, there might be group homes. And, you know, we don't think about this type of thing, but group homes are typically facilities that have been established for folks that may not have a residence or might have endured some other circumstances that did not provide them with some of the necessities or comforts that we have created in this world. And so I want to encourage listeners, hey, if you got some, as you go through your house and you're doing that spring cleaning, I want to encourage you, you know, check around your local neighborhoods. And while, you know, you can drop it off at Goodwill, I want to encourage you to make contact and liaison with your local group homes, because those are folks that are in immediate need and can use the stuff. And these homes, they don't sell it like the Goodwill does, but it satisfies an immediate need. I had given away a wheelchair and a walker to my local VA facility here, and they were, I mean, within 48 hours had them dispersed to people in need. I could have taken it down to the Goodwill and dropped it off there, and they could have sold it and made some money from it, but, you know, I knew there was a veteran out there that, you know, could have, you know, put it to immediate use that may not have had the resources to do that. So, the benefit of doing this and giving it to group homes or just donating is knowing that it's going to be used. One key thing, when you donate stuff, folks, I've seen, and I've been guilty of this myself, and this was really brought to light today, is that when you go to donate stuff, I want to encourage you to at least put it in a box or better, container, in which you can deliver the stuff and keep the containers. Historically, I have been guilty of taking stuff and putting it in a trash bag and dropping it off at the Goodwill. But when we think about what that does to the human psyche, it can really mess a person up and not give them that sense of worthwhile or empowerment. While yes, we might be, you know, we might be thinking, hey, I'm giving you a good thing. There's tons of clothes in this, you know, shoes or whatever. You know, the person on the opposite end, you know, put yourself in their shoes. So, you know, when you donate, really think about the other person and you know, why is it that you're doing it? Because everything that we do, every action, and in the Marine Corps, for boot camp, it was ingrained upon us that we're always being watched. Big brother, someone's always watching you. You can't get away with anything. And so that was predominantly the reason why we had to have a buddy with us. We never went anywhere by ourselves, not even to the restroom, not even to the head. But getting back to the cleaning, you know, in regards to that, I mean, it does take a buddy, some assistance to do that. As a brain injury thriver, while there are many things that I can do, I have doctors and counselors ask me, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can I? Yes. Can I do it consistently and repetitively without incident or altercation? Not going to happen. And since I got Maggie, she is, and we're all like that. So don't sell yourself short if you're not like that. Might be many things that one can do and may be able to do consistently, but you know, when we're dealing with the activities of life, one of the things that I think we have as a society gone too far off on the deep end is this thing called independence. And when you think about it, when you read what the definition of independence means, you'll clearly understand or quickly understand it doesn't exist. But interdependence does. Because that's what we experienced just to get here, just to be born into this world. We had to experience interdependence. If it wasn't for the two people that came together to conceive us, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for our ability to cry or wince or whatever, our parents or people taking care of it wouldn't figure out what we needed. My daughter very quickly taught me the difference between a hunger cry and a tire cry and a poopy diaper cry, all without saying any words. It was just the energy that she had put out. But over time, rather than embracing that energy, we, you know, our mother just, you know, from habit, conditioned her to do and believe the same things that we did and believed, without realizing for a moment, cognitively, that she came here for the same reason we did, to experience this thing called life. So it was a great week helping her declutter her room and get rid of the stuff that she wasn't using and be able to put that together to donate to somebody who can use it. So moving on, consolidate. Consolidate the things that you have. Maggie first came out and we started working together, I was involved in so many things. To say I was spread thin would have been an understatement. It was very overwhelming for Maggie, and fortunately, because of her background, was able to provide the direction, which, you know, as most people with brain injuries, we can follow direction, but taking the initiative to do certain things is really kind of like a roller coaster ride. Sometimes we feel like a nut, sometimes we don't. But it doesn't mean that we're just because I forget, it doesn't mean I don't care. So I know a lot of people that have had brain injuries, their family members might be choosing to think that, now that he has a brain injury or now that she has a brain injury, she just doesn't care, or she's using that as an excuse. Speaking from personal experience, while I'll concede to the fact that that might be a possibility, the people thinking like that, if they're not feeling shame, they will be, especially if you're listening to this, because again, we, I don't think there's one person on the face of this planet that intentionally or cognitively knew that what they were going to do was going to change their life to the magnitude it did, resulting in a brain injury. I didn't even know what a brain injury is. I didn't, concussion, much beyond a concussion, I had no concept. And so it has taken me literally almost a decade to finally figure and put all this stuff together. When Maggie and I started working together, you know, she immediately helped me consolidate, you know, looked around at all the various things that I was involved with and said, okay, is it something that is a necessity? Is it a desire? Obviously. and here's one of the things that I want to help people distinguish and help them declutter and consolidate their things. And it's real easy. There are two things. There are the desired, and then there's the undesired. That's it. And whatever it is, whether it be a friend, family, thought, thing, those are the only two ways we can define it. Now, the funny thing about the undesired is when you look at that word, 75% of it is still desired. Why? Because you're giving it attention. So you cannot have anything that you're not giving attention to. Albeit pain, like I know I have bilateral orthopedic injuries, but I do not give the any attention to the pain that I'm experiencing until I sit down, or and then attempt to stand up, or just sit down, or until it's too late, or I've exhausted myself or been on my feet too long that you know the pain receptors in my brain are overpowering the medication that I've used to deactivate those receptors so that it can function better without it or than I would without it. So consolidating, you know, look around how to organize better, try different strategies to smooth out the flow. Counseling is a huge, huge benefit that I receive as a, you know, with encouragement from both VA and Maggie, and it's helped me learn how to identify those triggers and things that areas of my life that, you know, I could consolidate on. Not only the activities, but also the stuff around my household. We don't, short of the seasonal stuff, I don't keep anything for longer than a year. We, our furniture, oh, my apologies, furniture, obviously, but I mean, like, if I'm not using it, that's what I'm referring to. So moving forward, we got some callers calling in. I want to acknowledge them. Thank you very much. We are just about to that portion of the show where I'm going to open this up to callers, but I do want to say thank you again to Gordon Johnson and TBI Law for sponsoring the show. And invite listeners that are listening live to call in at 424-243-9540. Again, that phone number is 424-243-9540. And share your insights. I'd like to hear what some folks have to say about spring cleaning and as far as some of the things that they've had to do since their TBI or acquiring their brain injury that has actually improved and helped them thrive. Because I'm a, again, real big advocate for doing things correctly. There is no right or wrong. When we think about it, what might be right for one might not be right for another. And if that is true, or, you know, if that's the case, then something's not right or correct. So when we can create or do something that is will work and is applicable for everybody, that's the truth. That is, so regardless of your demographic, regardless of your social class, regardless of your choice of religion or sexual preference, if it's applicable to you, that's the correct thing. So moving forward, we're going to go on to the next word that I had mentioned, check. Go through checklists. This was a huge thing I mentioned earlier, plans, having a plan. Prior proper planning prevents piss-poor performance is a acronym, or we had the seven P's, that we used in the Marine Corps as a reminder, hey, fire, you know, we got a plan. So checklist is a huge thing. I'd seen a app for iPhones and Android phones, smartphones basically, but the app was, it's done. And what it is a application where you can fill out various tasks that you might have to do throughout the day, and especially if you're like me, medication. What it was predominantly designed for initially was for the elderly, who, you know, because of this illusion called independence that we've been pushing for decades, you know, there's a lot of people who are under the illusion that they can do it by themselves. And while that's true, again, like I said, as a brain injury thriver, I recognize that I'm not designed to do the same thing the same way and produce the same result every single time. Why? Because there are too many variables that we as a society have created that have an influence and an impact on being able to achieve that type of success. But the cool thing about the TEI community is because of the vastness of our brain injuries and experiences, we're able to bring them to the table and share them and learn from one another. So these checklists could vary, and I have a checklist for some meals that I prepare. Maggie provides me with some checklists, you know, Maggie provides her respite worker with a checklist of things to do in her absence. Other things, medications or simple chores when it comes to your budget. During the month of March, we had talked about five areas or five things to remember to create a functional life after a brain injury. And our last week, we had talked about finances and being able to not necessarily be handling every aspect of your financial income, but at least being cognitively aware of have a bird's eye view of what's going on and what's going where. So even that is a checklist. You know, what bills do I have to pay? The same with schedules. Maggie and I, we use a joint calendar in which we have different areas in our lives that we give and devote our time and attention to. And based off of these, you know, calendar events or scheduled events, you know, that's how we pretty much also continue our existence. But it helps us manage it, and that's one of the key components about life with a brain injury is learning how to manage what you have. You know, some people have been able to ascertain and make great progress on their creating a functional life for themselves a lot faster than I have, but that doesn't make them any more special. It just makes it provides them with the opportunity. And so I want to encourage listeners and remind listeners, you know, if you're, you know, had a brain injury for 20 or 30 years and you're just now learning how to manage it, don't sweat it. You're in good company. You're in great company because, trust me, there's nothing new in this universe, just new to you. And once you can grasp that concept, life becomes a lot easier to deal with and enjoy. So, next point here, we got plant. You know, we have one of the things for those that know me. I've been authorized for the past 5 years to cultivate my own medicine. And while I also recognize that, you know, federally it's still against the law, and I understand the feds could come down and arrest me, the likelihood and chances of that are slim to none. Why? Well, because there's bigger fish on their plate to fry. And so when I, if that ever comes up and gets to the point, I'm not sweating it, that just means I'm one of those big fish that they want to fry. But until then, you know, my intention and desire is to, you know, do the things that allow me to have that functional life. And while what's comforting is more and more, and even on the media, we're seeing people changing their perceptions on the use of cannabis for medicinal purposes. But specifically when it comes to planting, you know, while that's something I do, you know, I have four seasons in a year because it's done indoor, whereas outdoors, you know, we also, Maggie and I, have gotten into planting our own garden. So we cultivate our own things, and this is going to be our first year doing it outdoors because historically we've done it indoors. It's just easier to control that kind of stuff. But we want to, you know, get out there and plant the garden. So I'm encouraging, you know, get some seeds. Heirloom seeds are what I encourage a lot of folks to pay attention to. While anybody can go out to the store, any monkey can go out to the store and get some seeds. Again, having an understanding of what we're doing is what produces the results that we have. So, you know, if they're not heirloom seeds, and what heirloom means is that they are, 50 years? Heirloom seeds, 50 years or older?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they're not genetically modified, and they are from the original at least 50 years or older. And so that's a huge thing. And the benefit of that is because, again, last month we talked about the things that we put into our body. So, you know, when we plant these, you know, gardens, what is it that we're planting? And here's the other thought. I want you to give you a visual, since we think in pictures. Our minds, our brains, that thing that we broke, when we think about it, it is a garden as well. And if we are not giving it the attention, I mean, like in real life, you know, a farmer has to go out, he has to plow the fields, he has to plant the seeds, he has to tend to it, and he doesn't get anything for that. He's got to wait until the season, the rains come, the sun, you know, produces the fruits of his labors. So he may have to wait up to, you know, 3 months before he's able to enjoy the fruits of his labor. So just because you might make a decision tonight that, hey, I'm going to do XYZ by this date, and historically you haven't achieved that, that's okay. Understand, repetition is the second law of learning. Recognition is the first. So when we can recognize what it is we're doing, it's, you know, those things we call a habit. Once we recognize them as a habit, we can't call them a habit anymore. It's called a choice. And that's one of the cognitive things that I want to remind people to inspire one each other to remember. I mean, we don't, and until we acknowledge something, until we recognize, A, this is, you know, a lie, or this is an illusion, or this is, you know, something is good, those thoughts are what creates the feelings, and then the feelings are what creates the action. So if our thoughts about planting a garden, or, you know, tending to the gardens of our minds as a hassle, then that's going to create the same emotion and, again, create the results of it being a hassle. But when we think about our minds as being our own personal garden, you know, if you look out into your yard, I don't think anybody has ever intentionally planted a weed. And no matter how many times you might go out there and pull the weed, weeds still pop up. Our minds are pretty much all like a yard. Those weeds, what I would refer to as weeds, are those disempowering thoughts, or those negative thoughts. And if you don't dismiss them, if you don't recognize them, they will cultivate, they will grow. There's a woman who had a thought that as a Marine, and me stating I can be your best friend or your worst enemy, you get to decide, she has chosen to perceive me as the, as an enemy, even though I have no hostility towards her or whatever, as did her husband. And what was unique about that was that, you know, here I am, you know, months later, thinking they've moved on, so on and so forth, and I ran into the husband the other day at the VA, and he had a service animal with him, and had a vest on, saying, indicating that it was a service animal, and I walked in, and recognized him right off the bat, and I was like, hey, you know, how's it going? As nothing ever happened. And walked past him and his dog to one side of the VA building, and there wasn't anybody there, so I had to walk back. Well, as I walked back, his quote-unquote service animal barked at me and kind of got on a stance. And I was just like, that's interesting. So I went ahead and I started talking to the gal behind the counter. And as I started talking to her, I continued to talk to her, this dog, I could hear the dog becoming more aggressive, started growling, and by the time I finished up with the VA rep and to leave, this guy had his hand around the dog's muzzle and was hand on his chest holding the dog back because what appeared to me, and the dog wanted to you know, attack me. And so I understood why he was doing it. But what was humorous about the whole situation was his wife had chastised Maggie a few times that when her husband came into the area we were in, Luke would bark. And her response is, oh, service animals shouldn't bark. Well, having an understanding that, you know, Luke doesn't have any concept of who anybody is. So for him to bark, you know, it's known. People, we have said that dogs can sense things that we humans can't. And what was funny, when I shared this with a fellow TBI driver, she was shocked. I mean, even my daughter was surprised. She was like, I have never seen an animal become aggressive towards you, you know, and her 14 years. And I'm like, I know, that's why I was kind of, you know, a little perplexing. But what was great was it reminded me to plant a better seed about this gentleman and his wife, that they're no longer like that. While I had chosen to believe that they had moved on, the proof is in the results. And so now I have to cognitively change my perception of them by, you know, viewing them better. And trusting that the universe will work its wonderful magic. And if the next time I see him and you know, something hasn't changed, I'm not going to be it wouldn't surprise me, but any more than it would surprise me if they had changed or they welcomed me with open arms, because that is where the intention and the desire is. So when we're going to plan things, having an understanding of what we're thinking about, what we're giving attention to. We wouldn't intentionally go out into a field and throw pieces of coal down and cover it up and think, okay, we're going to get some diamonds out of it. So why would we have the choose to believe that, gee whiz, this person's not going to cheat on me or this person's going to help me? We have the ability to perceive everything the way we desire, to include the undesired. So I want to encourage listeners to really pay attention to the thoughts that are going through their head. And remember, we're all farmers. You know, I've said it before. I mean, we're all Marines, you know, because in the Marine Corps, we improvise, overcome, and adapt. But as I look around and I see every single human being around me, that proves that they did the same thing. So that means, well, they're no different than me. They're just a Marine. The only difference between them and me is I went to boot camp and earned the title, just like Maggie went to school and earned her master's degree in rehabilitation. It doesn't make her better than me. It just makes her better in that particular area, and I can learn from her. For those folks that have, you know, familiar with Napoleon Hill, I think it was I remember hearing a story where he had shared that Charles Schwab didn't know anything about iron. He just knew how to manage people, and all the people that, you know, were dealing with iron and steel and so on and so forth back in the 20s and 30s and the building of ships and what have you, you know, the guy that was managing it had no understanding, no concept of it, where it came from, how they extracted it, let alone the you know, what was required to shape and mold it into the forms that they did and use it for the things they did. No concept. But this guy literally made millions from helping and managing people who did. So as a TBI thriver, I want to encourage folks and listeners to, you know, just because you got a brain injury, hey, we can learn how to make miracles happen. So, you know, read new books. You know, these are things. I get on Facebook and I find new things all the time that are inspirational. The unique thing that I like about Facebook is that, you know, I'm connected to people from all over the world and all different demographics and different geographic locations and different cultures. And I put a post out there earlier this week, said if you only speak one language, if English is the only language you speak, WTF, where's the focus? You know, the narrow mind says, well, what do I need to learn English? English is spoken everywhere. Not true. Go down to Mexico. While there might be a couple people who do speak English, yeah, you'd be hard-pressed to make your way through there without knowing some Spanish. Unlike America, where everybody, you know, we in America, it's the land of the free. We're free to do whatever we want. Just look at Congress. Look at what they've been doing. And tell me otherwise and I'll shut up. But, you know, in America we can speak multiple different languages. But if you go to another country, you speak their language. If you don't, it can offend some as well as get you into some serious trouble, because in America we have some words and terminologies and phrases that we use that in other countries are literally offensive. They're a disgrace. They are, in some areas, an offense that an arrestable offense. Excuse me. So having an understanding of the language of the area that you're, you know, going to visit. I've learned Korean, Russian. Obviously with Maggie, ASL, American Sign Language. And that's not a, while it is a language, you don't speak it, you sign it. But Cantonese, Vietnamese, and Egyptian Arabic are all, and of course Spanish, and a little bit of Japanese. But, and again, that doesn't make me special, that just makes me more relatable too. And so when we are out there, I want to encourage you, you know, plant new seeds. Do those things that you've never done before. It wasn't easy for me to learn these languages, and while I can speak them, the funny thing is that with Maggie, when I'm not around her and I attempt to do sign language with somebody else, it comes out all screwy. But I can sign with Maggie or with somebody else who's deaf, you know, sign and communicate with them effectively. But to try to, you know, demonstrate that or to speak to somebody who, we'll say something in Egyptian Arabic. Well, Sabah el Her, INSF, means good afternoon or the morning, the good light to a lady. Iowa, that's a state in the United States of America, but in Egyptian Arabic, that means yes. Understanding, you know, these different languages can help one understand why things are the way they are. Now, the last area that I want to speak on before we get into the callers here is ask. And this is a great segue in, because I know if she's listening, she's probably already called in, I'm sure. But ask for an assistance, tapping into resources. You know, and we're not necessarily talking about, referring to like professionals. Now, understanding a professional doesn't mean that they're an expert at it. So having had a house cleaners, I've had several people over the years who were had a house cleaning business. And the first one I had had set the bar so high, nobody has even begun to come close to reaching it. And subsequently, that's why I've relied upon Maggie's abilities to keep our residents clean. And, of course, I do help as well. Professional just means that it's somebody who gets paid to do a particular task. It doesn't mean that they're an expert at it. So... and what was interesting was Ashley, my daughter, we were having a conversation with her mom because she works in a law office. Well, earlier this week we had watched a show and had seen this name plate on a professional's desk, and it said attorney at law. And the question was raised, why does it need to say at law? I mean, when you say the word attorney, are you referring to any other type? And so it really raised the question of, you know, WTF, what are we doing? Now, when we think, what makes it even more funny is that these professionals that we call lawyers, when we think about it, they're practicing. They're practicing a law as they go along. I mean, 90% of the laws that are in existence today is because somebody thought, hey, we should have this, just in case of that, which is a lot of the reason why Dianne Feinstein is making a play off of the whole Sandy Hook issue, knowing full well that it was a staged event and, you know, in an effort to get her gun laws passed. And it's not just her, but she's, you know, one of the key components in this. And when we think about human nature, what's the easiest way to get somebody to do something? You scare them into doing it. So what's an easier way to scare somebody into doing something than putting on an event like this? And so I want to encourage listeners to really reach out to your resources and know who you're dealing with. There are people out there that are in the brain injury community. There is a case going on right now between two organizations with the same acronym for their organization. Only one is run for, with, and by brain injury thrivers. Whereas the other one is formed up of quote-unquote professionals who, because of their similarity, acquire federal funding, but yet they don't do anything for the brain injured. So know your professionals. Know who you're dealing with. But one of the big things that a lot of people have an issue with is because of this illusion called independence, you know, we don't ask for help. And so if I want to remind listeners, you're listening to this, man, if you're not asking for help, WTF. You deserve all the pain and anguish that you get. If you're not asking for help, you deserve whatever you get. Just like those who do ask for help, they deserve what they get. And so I want to encourage you, don't... be willing to ask. Take that risk. Take that chance. Rosa Parks didn't become known as she is because she kept her mouth shut and sat on the back of the bus. Martin Luther King isn't known why he is or known as he is because he didn't ask for help, or he was too prideful, or he was too independent. Abraham Lincoln. You think he was, you know, so independent that he didn't need to ask for assistance? So it's a working together. We have a team. We have a unique team here of people with brain injuries from all walks of life, and we have the ability and the means through social networking sites like Facebook in which we can connect and learn from one another and help, and most importantly, help one another. And while there might, you know, there's always going to be that one that may not like you, despite what your efforts, you know, have been to correct it, know this. There's always one. In the Marine Corps, that's just the saying. So at this time, I'm going to bring on to some callers here. We got someone for the 484 area code. I think this is the young lady that I've been wanting to bring on here. Let's see. Well, it's not responding here. Okay, here we go. From the 484 area code, welcome to WTF with Spring Cleaning. Who are we talking to tonight?
Hello, Kevin. This is Jenny. And hello, marvelous Maggie.
Hello, Jenny. Hey, folks. Yeah, this is the young lady I had mentioned earlier in the show who had put a post out there on Facebook about asking for us, you know, not being afraid to ask for assistance. And so with that, Jenny, I want to open it up and let you share your story and your experience with that post, if you would, please.
Sure. I'm just going to go with mental. I did some major spring cleaning yesterday. And it was emotional spring cleaning of my new life. I have lived for 6 years with the undesired of being alone and have never met another survivor ever face-to-face. Now, as of yesterday, thank God for the Center of Independent Living. I now have a desired life ahead because on the 12th, I am actually going to a picnic with a group of brain injury survivors. Not just one, but a group out having fun in a national state forest. And the coordinator of the Center for Independent Living is picking me up and taking me there and bringing me home so I have a safe ride there. And it
that
is opening
awesome.
The world to me because they're getting me a vacuum, which I didn't have and I needed. They are going to have activities where I can go once a month and just have fun out and about groups. It's opened a whole new world for me, and I'm excited.
That is awesome. It is imperative to have those connections. I mean, I know for myself, you know, while I'm still know all the people that I was connected to before my brain injury, and while I'm still connected to a lot of them, I'm not interactive with them yet. Anyways, why? Because they're doing their thing and I'm doing mine. But you know, in my local area, I'm very involved with the TBI community and creating some bigger and better things. But yeah, it is imperative to feel free to ask for that support. And I know you mentioned that group, Center of Independent Living.
It is. I'm going to give them a shout out personally. It's called the Anthracite Region Center for Independent Living, and that is in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and they service my county, which is the poorest county.
Yeah, I had to give a little clap out there for them for doing that for you, Jen. And I want to make a motion here on this show that any organization that has that word independent in there, I want to encourage you to reconsider and change it to interdependence because, as Jenny so succinctly dictated, is that this organization is going to provide you with not only assistance but transportation to and from the events and that they're putting on, and what that describes is interdependence.
Well, I also wanted to, and it gives me an opportunity, and it put a fire in my bug.
Wow.
And I have a printer that I have not gotten out of its box. It's brand new in over a year because I had no use for it. I am going to print out major copies of both Brain Injury Radio so I can pass that on to other people who may not know and might need or want. I'm also going to do printouts of the peer support to pass out. So it gives me an opportunity. They're giving it, they're paying it forward to me. So it gives me an opportunity to pay it forward to other people who might need it.
That's awesome.
And that is just a blessing in my heart. I mean, it's just, I'm just so excited. I've already got my outfit picked out, and I'm just like, I've got a week to get myself emotionally ready to go and do it.
Outstanding. Okay. Well, hey, that's great to have that ability and those connections. So, Jenny, thank you so much for calling in and sharing. Any other thoughts you wanted to share about what we covered here tonight?
No, I just wanted to say what you say is going from the undesired to the desired is so necessary. We have to dream and hope and just imagine. And then go and get it any way you can.
Right. I think it was Napoleon Hill said, whatever the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And so that it is true. I mean, because there's nothing in my existence that I've experienced that I didn't first think of in some form or another. And so it makes it, I mean, even to include my brain injury. You know, I as I review back when I told that I was learning, I only told three people that I was learning how to skydive. My bride, my biological father, and my acupuncturist. And of those three people that told me I shouldn't be doing it, all three of them did. So I was clued in that something was going to be going on here. So, but moving forward, you know, and that's what we're here to do. And I appreciate you calling in and sharing there, Jen. Your experience with getting connected with an organization, and that's great because there are other organizations that are out there. But like I said, check, you know, their backgrounds and make sure that, you know, they have a history. And anytime you're dealing with a professional, whether it be especially in the medical field, because we all know it's called the practice of medicine, just like it's the practice of law. I mean, we don't go get our haircuts or our manicures or pedicures done by somebody who's practicing. They're actually licensed, certified, and able to do it. But why are we paying so much for these lawyers and doctors who are practicing on us? So I think we need to rethink that concept, but I want to encourage folks to really think about that new concept of cleaning their minds. As Jenny had said, she did a mental cleaning checklist. And, you know, without that, you know, how are we going to be able to proceed? So thank you, Jenny, so much for calling and sharing. We have got about another 20 minutes on the call. Folks, hey, I want to invite you to call 424-243-9540 if you have any comments or thoughts you want to share about tonight's show or spring cleaning or dealing with life after a brain injury. And thanks to our sponsor, Gordon Johnson with TBILaw.com, we are able to bring this message to you on Brain Injury Radio Network. And we are talking about spring cleaning, various aspects of getting that to create that functional life for yourself after a brain injury. With the spring in the air, we talked about decluttering, consolidating, checking, planting, and asking. These are the key words or components of words, trigger words, if you will, kind of like WTF. Is a trigger phrase that I use to remind me of where the focus is. So we can all create these acronyms or phrases or terms to use to help create that functional life or make that life more functional with an emphasis on the FUN. You know, most of us that have brain injuries, while we may not have cognitively understood the what life was going to be like after we did it, you know, got our brain injury, but we're doing the best we can. And so I'm grateful for the assistance of not only my bride of almost 10 years, Tamara, who, you know, took that step and said, hey, I can't do this anymore, but we need to get you somebody else and somebody that can help you. And so I was very blessed to have the marvelous Maggie enter my life, and things worked out the way they did in hers that allowed us to come together and bring the show to you guys tonight. So thanks so much for joining us. A few closing thoughts here and with spring cleaning. You know, we can't expect to understand something we've never had before. That's one of the things that with my daughter this week that she really finally came to understand. Because at most I've only had like a weekend with her since my brain injury, you know, or a week at a time. And now that I'm creating that functional life, you know, it's like, hey, we've established some, you know, kind of like guidelines or rules, you know. If I happen to have a misfire, the first thing is, hey, is Dad medicated? If not, get to him. Is he hungry? Maggie has to go through her checklist. Did I get him food? All of these things. And, you know, one of the things that was funny as I was dropping my daughter off, sharing with her about the whole red shirt incident that I had yesterday, her mom made a remark, oh, you have somebody to lay your clothes out for you? And it was almost like, oh, it must be nice. And while it was initially perceived as such, you know, I actually got to think about it, and it made me, it inspired, empowered me. And I asked her, I said, yeah, isn't it nice? It is awesome that, you know, I have inspired others to do for me because of what I'm willing to do for them. And that's what I, you know, kind of want to leave folks with this evening is, you know, are the things that you're doing, are they inspiring those around you to do more or less? You know, the results don't lie. And so I want to, and that's one of the things that about tonight's show is taking that mental checklist and looking around and checking yourself. We have created a phrase, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And so I want to invite and encourage the listeners to remember these things because it doesn't take a whole lot to screw up a good thing. Whereas it does take a while to create a good thing. Like in farming or growing things, you know, the farmer doesn't, you know, plant a seed and expect a fruit from it tomorrow any more than a man would and a woman would have sex one night and expect the baby to come out the next. They understand that things take time. And I think for a miracle of life to be born or come into this world from the moment of conception, and where does conception start? You know, in the woman or in our minds? Now, there's a deep thought, folks. So I want to, over the next week, I want to encourage folks to really pay attention to what it is that they have in their surroundings, both mentally and physically, and, you know, consolidate, you know, eliminate. Those things that you feel are obligatory, these are not things that are conducive or empowering for you, because if you're doing something out of obligation, you know, can you really enjoy it? If the first concept is, I don't want to do this crap, and this goes true, you know, having a 14-year-old, you know, it having been 14 and now having a 14-year-old, it's interesting to see the differences in us and our behaviors because of the surroundings that we have. You know, like I mentioned earlier, music is a key thing that I personally utilize to help keep me in that good mental state. And same with TV shows. What I pay attention to, what I give my attention to, will either help weed my mental mind or allow those weeds to cultivate. You know, nobody plants seeds or weeds out in their yard, but they happen to appear. Regardless of how often you may go out, there's always going to be a weed. And so I want to use that and help folks remember that farming, you know, keeping management of our minds and our thoughts is no different than managing a farm or an application or a game. That's one of the things that I've another thing that I've used historically to help clean out my mind. I'll take like a 5-minute break and go play a video game. And these are things that I do on a daily basis. So if I have to do these things, and I don't consider myself, you know, anything special. Maggie does, you know, my daughter, and certainly Luke thinks I'm the bomb here. But I think I'm able to do these what I do because of Maggie, because of Luke, because of folks that are listening. And I want to invite folks that, you know, if you want to get connected with me, you can go to facebook.com/KFILIPS or just Google my name, Kevin Phillips, with TBI or USMC after it, and there you'll find a lot of links out there to get connected with me. We got a few more callers, but nobody's raised their hand, so I, you know, moving forward. So with again, Maggie was just checking, you know, if I had anybody raising their hand. So folks that are calling, you want to chime in, feel free to call in at 424-243-9540. Raise your hand, follow the prompts, and we'll get to you. Anywho, the topic for this evening was spring cleaning. And I was just sharing some last-minute insight in regards to tips that I've used, but encouraging folks to discover their own. And feel free to share them. I have a page called My TBI Life, a group page, where folks are able to post their experiences and thoughts out there about their life with a TBI. And we get some great insight. There was a great opportunity to get some information. There's a lot of other social networking sites and applications that you can get connected to, other TBI thrivers. So I want to encourage listeners to reach out. Like I said, the last part was ask. And just because one of the things I want to encourage is, there is never any one particular person that knows everything. I have some of the greatest finds I've experienced came from folks that I initially didn't think they had any clue. But just by sharing my thoughts with them, they were able to provide me with what I was missing or needed and got the issue resolved. So remember, asking is not a bad thing. So we got a couple phone calls that raised your hand here, so I'm going to bring one on from the 585 area code. Welcome to WTF, Where's the Focus, with Kevin Phillips. We're talking about spring cleaning. Who are we talking to tonight from 585 area code?
Fantastic Frank.
It is the Frankster. How are we doing there, Frank?
Fantastic. You said a few things that really resonated with me. One was about you have to ask for help, because if you don't ask for help, people want the help all the time, even in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
People out there who want to help you, and so you have to ask for help. Now, I think I was going to mention something else that you said, too, but I can't remember what else it was.
It'll come to you. It'll come. That's a great opportunity. Thanks, Frank, for giving this to me. I want to remind listeners, hey, if you happen to have a brain fart or you're not able to recount, just say, acknowledge it. Hey, I'm having a brain fart. It'll come to me, though. And universe responds in kind. It's the craziest thing. So, did it come to you yet, Frank?
It hasn't come to me yet. So if you want to go on the camera or someone else, you can. But thank you. I really enjoyed listening to you, Kevin. You are great.
Well, thank you so much, Frank, for calling in. I appreciate it. It's always great to have another brain injury radio host call in and share. Thank you so much, Frank. You are an inspiration. And we're going to, with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring on another caller. I'm going to keep you on here, Frank, because I know you might have some insight to share here. So hang tight there, all right?
Okay, well, thank you, Kevin.
All right. Hey, we got welcome to WTF, Where's the Focus, with Kevin Phillips. We got a caller in from 803 area code. Who are we talking with tonight?
It's Les Paul, and I just want to tell you, you've been doing awesome tonight. I've really enjoyed listening to your show, and you're always inspiring. And Maggie, I hope I get to meet her someday. She sounds like such a wonderful lady. I know you two are just a dynamic duo, and I just thank you for your show tonight. And I need to do my spring cleaning. I have been so busy, I haven't had any time to. Do you have any ideas to get me motivated?
And, you know, as a brain injury thriver, that was one of the things that I found inspiring. I think it was Jenny who had posted this link about the It's Done application, where you can sit down. And that's one of the things that Maggie and I had recently done, is we set up a checklist where we decide each week, hey, what do we want to eat? And, you know, something as simple as that. And that way it's not, we're not, come time to prepare a meal, you know, she's not asking me, oh, what are you in the mood for? Or, you know, declaring what am I going to, you know, what can I fix? So with that, you know, we got to go through, you know, we sit down each week and say, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to create. So we're always having, you know, success. We're experiencing, and that's the funny thing, is we're always experiencing success. It's just, are we succeeding in the what we've defined as desired or what we've defined as undesired? And so that's what I think is wonderful about this TBI community and coming together. And Les, thanks so much for chiming in.
Well, one quick thing I wanted to say is that a lot of people think they have failed and they don't know it, but they're learning from their mistakes and they're growing in their mistakes. I've made a million, maybe 2 or 3 million, but
right.
I've learned from them. I just want to end it by saying we all make mistakes and we're all human and we're going to grow. And listening to your show tonight is just awesome. I'll let you go.
Well, thank you so much for chiming in here, Les. And it's great. You know, he brought up a great thing there. You know, since we're on words, mistakes. Thank you for reminding me that's a pejorative term, because when you think about it, if you learn from it, was it really a mistake or just a learning lesson? And folks, I wanna say, hey, that was actually something that my own mother had brought to my attention, and she is a brain injury thriver. She had sustained her brain injury back in 1978 before they even really knew what a brain injury was. So the fact that she was able to raise me and provide for me and my sister in the way that she did, despite her brain injury, is nothing short of a miracle. And so I thank her and feel very fortunate to be here and talking to you folks now. And Maggie just informed me that the folks that are listening on Skype, they're not able to raise their hand, and I'm going to bring her on right now. Kim Justice is another one of our brain injury hosts, and decided to chime in. So, hey, welcome to the show, Kim. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks, Kevin. I'm doing really good. I was glad to be able to make it to your show tonight. I just wanted to say I appreciated the concept of spring cleaning, both literally and figuratively. I know I've seen some other people write about what I kind of coined full basket syndrome, and that's, you know, being emotionally charged so that, you know, if a shoelace breaks, it's like throwing another log on the fire. And some of that spring cleaning, you know, emotionally, of letting go of past frustrations or perceived failures, even though they were learning experiences, resentments, things like that. It's a really good time to think about doing that, because if you have your psyche emptied of some of the garbage, then there's more space to deal with the new things that come that can get me on sensory overload if I've got too much of the static in the background, you know what I mean? So I really appreciated your topic, and that's something for me to think about as I'm donating the clothes I don't fit into anymore.
You know, hey, we all have some of those. You know, I've been very fortunate. I think my highest weight was 175 pounds. And that was shortly before I met Maggie, and I've got back down to my solid build now. But it was interesting to see. I mean, even with Maggie, since her recent weight release, you know, she's, you know, going through her closet, getting rid of those clothes that, you know, hey, I don't need these anymore. So kudos to you.
That's a really positive attitude. I have more sizes than Macy's, so. I'm going to hang on to some of them just in case, give myself some flexibility. I'm over 50.
Well, hey, if you, what was it? There was an old SNL skit with Billy Crystal. It said, "You look marvelous." You know, it's, you look marvelous, you'll feel marvelous, you know. I think that's where we got the phrase, fake it till you make it.
Yes.
But, exactly. Yeah, so... thanks for sharing, Kim. Any other thoughts you wanted to share about tonight's show?
No, just wanted to tell you I thought it was a really great show.
Well, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Hey, it is, as always, folks, we have a great variety of topics to talk on. And, you know, each day of the week, we've got somebody different with a brain injury hosting a show on braininjuryradio.com. And as a benefit and a result of our sponsor, Gordon Johnson, with TBILaw.com. And the wonderful, this is actually a creation of Craig Cecilia. Craig started Brain Injury Radio a little over 2 years ago. In fact, I just started a little over 2 years ago doing a monthly show. And up until recently, now I'm doing a weekly show. Who knows, next year I'll be doing a daily show. But nonetheless, you know, I want to encourage listeners and remind listeners, you know, whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze here. Woohoo! Oh, okay, I'm back on that one. I can't mute fast enough, but... anyways, regardless of the season, we can always do a cleaning, and that's something we need to be doing at least quarterly, folks. You know, clean out the closet, clean out those thoughts, clean out, you know, really reevaluate where you're at and what you're doing. You know, some things that we may enjoy doing, you know, years ago, we may not enjoy now, and vice versa. Things that we did enjoy years ago, we might enjoy now. You know, I'll be at a fruit, a meal, or an activity, or even a person. You know, I remember as a kid, I loved spinach. I was like Popeye, but unless it, and I ate it out of the can. I'd come home, and instead of, you know, eating candy, I'd just crack open a can of spinach, you know, but... You know, let that be a reminder, folks, that we, despite our hurdles or brain injuries, we have the ability to create something better. And so tonight we were talking about spring cleaning. We had I had some notes about it, but we have come to a... We're going to be having a wonderful week this week. Reach out. And get connected. If not, WTF, where's the focus? So we're going to bring it out and close it out with a song that was inspiring to me, if I can get it up here. I was having some technical difficulties right before the show here. But nonetheless, hey, folks, I want to wish you well and have a fantastic week and learn to understand that life is what we make it.